Jimmy Gordillo from the Herald Times joins us here on a Monday afternoon. Well, everything in the new year has been a little wonky. Why not start off our first Monday in the Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour with the man who covers all of the high school action here locally? Novak will be in tomorrow night. We will recap the national championship game with Dave. We'll get his viewpoint from North and South basketball, the Colts end of the season, IU preview. We'll do that tomorrow. But tonight, Jimmy G will relive a very busy weekend. Good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
Just fine, sir. How you been?
Well, the 82nd meeting of North and South, absolutely right. Joe painted the picture all week last week when we returned from Wednesday forward. But you throw the records out, you throw the what happened in 2023 out, you lock the door, you make sure the fire marshal can get in, but it was pretty close to a sellout as well, and everyone was treated on the first Friday of the new year to an absolute thriller on the Tom McKinney Court on the north side. Bloomington North at the buzzer in overtime, knocking off Bloomington South. Tell me what you saw, my friend. Lots of great local performances.
Yeah, it was a fun game for fans to watch, and you know, I just had all kinds of intrigue to it, you know, coming into it. You know, I get there and like, you know, where's Jason Spear? Well, he's homesick, having to watch from afar, and so you're wondering, okay, you've got a freshman starter, you've got a sophomore starter, you've got, you know, a couple other kids who, you know, just, you know, part-time role, you know, being thrown into this thing for the first time, and all of a sudden you don't have your head coach there. What kind of curveball is this going to be for North to deal with? And obviously, you know, South's coming in. You know, it's probably as frustrated as anybody against Bloomington North. You know, last three games that North has all pulled out, South's walked out of there thinking, you know, we had a chance to win this game. And you know, thinking that, you know, three or four things here or there could have made the difference. And it turned out to be four in a row just like that. You know, obviously, yeah, JR, talking to him after the game, just very frustrated with, you know, a couple basic things that you want your kids to do, like, you know, blocking out on rebounds, you know, taking a couple of quick shots, which they shouldn't have. You know, a couple little things here and there that you know, kept them from beating North again. And then on the other side, boy, just clutch performances by several kids in that team. It's one of those deals where everybody who got on the floor did something to help North win that game at some point. You know, you look at a couple of bat, you know, CJ Vaughn's a kid who'd never played in a North-South varsity game before, comes out there and hits a couple of very key buckets. And play some terrific defense. He's the one who tipped the ball away on the Luke Lindemann's missed free throw there that allowed Derek Cross to track that, you know, grab that ball down. And I'm sorry, yeah, it was Jalen Williams tracked it down and then allowed Derek to hit the three pointer. And you know, and then the other thing that the JR bemoaned is, you know, yeah, between Derek and you know, Jalen Williams came in shooting less than 20% from the three-point line, and it seemed like every time they left him open, though, he sank it, and including that great shot there at the end. And, you know, once again, it was C.J. Vaughn's who made the pass, and Jalen Williams had Alex Chavetz, you know, all over him there, kind of lined up. So am I going to take him off the dribble, or am I going to up and take a three here? And chose a three-pointer and swish. And, you know, and I think it was a perfect example of, you know, the trust that, you know, this coaching staff is starting to get in this squad. You know, the North had the ball with a minute to go, worked the clock, called timeout with 21 seconds left. And, you know, I asked Anthony Lindsay, who was the acting head coach that night, so, you know, what were you kind of looking for in that? And he said, well, he said, hey, we just went to spread. Yeah, he didn't care. From what he told me, he said they didn't care who took the shot. It was just you. We're going to get you in spread, and you make the choice. Do you want to take somebody off the dribble, shoot a jumper? He just kind of left it up to the team to work it out, and thing worked out for them in the end.
And the other part of that, it's a tie game, right? It's all knotted up. So if that shot doesn't go in, you get four more minutes. So it's the pressure there is different than if you make both free throws and then you have the ball down one. There's a whole different set of circumstances that goes along with that. That was another Coach Holmes bemoanment. Make your free throws. Don't give up rebounds off the free throws. But it's is it four in a row now for Bloomington North, Jim?
Yeah. And two of them been in overtime. You had the, you know, the close win last year at South, and then you go back to the win at North, and then the overtime win in the Martinsville sectional there as well. So yeah, it's a four game win streak for the Cougars in that series,
and without their head coach as well. So that's a little bit of adversity. Now we know Anthony Lindsay's been there, and that staff's been there for a while. So it's not, we're not going to make this into a, but that's not the way you want to go into the game against your rival. You don't want to be down any players, and you don't want to be down against your coach. So a great atmosphere that night. Did Coach Lindsay, acting coach for the weekend, did he feel the early schedule helped in that game, or is it just two city schools, rivals and friends battling it out on the night?
Yeah, well, it's a bit of both. I mean, yeah, this game's been like I said, yeah, all these kids who have witnessed this game, you know, they've seen the way this game has played out, you know, the last few years. So yeah, you had to figure it was going to play that way. But yeah, I asked him about that. I was going to follow up with later, but yeah, it's just one of those things when you've thrown these kids into the cooker the way they have, and you know, it's been tough because they, like I said, that was the first time they've had everybody there. So the ironic part is their coach doesn't show up. but you know, it does give you a sense of, you know, it's been a while since I've seen them, but this looks like a much different group. And you know, that was the thing about the other night, the ball movement that set up open looks was really good. You know, credit South. You know, I don't want to leave them out of this. I mean, you know, Vince Mutadier had a great night shooting for South to keep them in it with 23 points. North did a great job of keeping Zach Sims under control. But on the other hand, you know, Zach obviously hit the free throw that sent it into overtime after a big miss, and then played some pretty good defense on Luke Lindemann. But credit Luke Lindemann for understanding that he didn't need to score to have a positive effect in the game, and he did a great job of setting up both of Vonza's shots and several others as well. He did a great job with his decision making when he had the ball in his hands, and that bodes well for the future with him.
You know, the kids have a saying, life comes at you pretty quickly. Saturday night, North goes on the road, and they have a situation late. And, well, I'll let you tell the listeners what happened there.
Unfortunately, it's got to be tough because, obviously, you're spending your whole week scouting South and getting hyped up and ready for South, and then you have to turn around on short notice. And who knows how much time they even spent looking at Seymour before they got on the, you know, before Friday night's game. So you go down there and you got a team that traditionally likes to make you work a lot on defense. Is more than having, you know, they played Jeffersonville to a 40-39 game this year when Jeffersonville didn't have one of their better players, but you know, still. So you go down there and you guess you got to figure there's going to be some little bit of you know, that, you know, coming down off a win like that, and pretty soon they find themselves down 11-12 points going into the fourth quarter, and then all of a sudden Luke Lindemann, who had 21 of his 23 points in the second half, scores 15 straight, and next thing you know, it's a 34-33 game with 3.5 minutes to go. And well, what do you know? I mean, Seymour just can't hit a free throw. They wound up 6 of 18 at the free throw line.
In Indiana? In Indiana high school basketball, 6 of 18, is that legal?
Yeah.
Is that even
six
legal?
6 of 18, 11 of 26 for the game, yeah. On their home rims, no less. And so despite everything that North had to be going through, again without Jason Spear down there, Jalen Williams finds himself at the line with 1.7 seconds left in regulation, had a chance to win it, and unfortunately for him, missed both free throws, and then Seymour was just able to probably had a little more legs there at the end, I would imagine, when you consider the energy North had to spend. It's not an excuse. It's, you know, it won't be one when you find yourself in that Friday, Saturday back-to-back when sectional gets here, but obviously Seymour having a 15-point win over Charlestown Probably left them with a little more legs there at the end. But tough weekend for North, but it'll be a good learning lesson for them to, hey, this is what it's going to take to win a, you know, if you're going to go up to Mooresville, or I guess it's at North this year, but, you know, you've got teams like, South and Center Grove that you're going to have to, you're going to have to beat a couple teams like that back to back on Friday, Saturday night to win a sectional title up there. So yeah, here's the kind of effort it's going to take. So I'm sure again that'll benefit them moving forward.
And the other part of that, if you made the right one, kid. if you had two, sure, to pick from.
Yeah, if you had to split, yeah, if you had to decide how you were going to split the weekend, yeah, I think, North went the way that yeah.
Now, South,
because
South fans don't want to hear that.
Keeps you in the running for at least a share of the conference title as well.
That's the whole point of it as well. You beat your rival, you stay in the conference, talk, and you learn from it. Just a sophomore there. Bloomington South, they will have Columbus East on Friday to bounce back. They did not have the doubleheader weekend like Bloomington North did. We know Columbus East has struggled over the last decade or so. Is that still the case, Jimmy G? What's your Friday outlook? I know it's only a Monday, but that should be a bounce back game, I would think, for JR's crew.
That's one of the things that I think the Columbus game was like a 2-point game as well. Yeah, both Columbus boys basketball teams are kind of, I don't want to say struggling, but yeah, they're kind of off their game a little bit this year. So yeah, it should be a chance for South to get healthy. And it was interesting, again, this is that time of year where South and JR really like to switch gears. You know, he uses November and December to kind of evaluate his team, see who can play, who can't, what they're good at, what they're not good at. And then, I talking to him, he's just like, yeah, we're going to have to, we may have to, he was kind of disappointed in how some kids have been playing early. So you may see some different folks starting or coming off the bench perhaps here, as they kind of figure out who can play, and certainly I think South needs some help in the depth department. You can't keep really kind of having to at this level. It's kind of tough to depend on the same real, five or six guys for all your production.
Columbus East, Jimmy G, was blown out by BNL 71-38, but they also fell to Greensburg, as did Bloomington South. Columbus East fell 49-48. Bloomington South had a little bit of a different time with Greensburg 59-50 up at the Wedding tournament there over the holidays. What does it mean? It means the two teams will play on Friday night, and that's about it. Tomorrow night, Columbus East will get their week started hosting Shelbyville. That is their first home game since defeating Columbus North, as you mentioned, 46-45. So Indianapolis home school will be next Monday on the holiday for Bloomington South. That's a little interesting shakeup as well before heading to Castle on the 19th. Edgewood, Matt Wadsworth's crew, after, boy, oh boy, that semi, the, what was it, quarterfinal? Or was it semifinal? Which I can't remember which one it was, where they fell to Terre Haute North, where they had the big lead. Joe was telling me about it. They bounced back, though, and had a very very solid and easy weekend, winning convincingly at Brown County and South Putnam.
Yeah, they've got a – this is, the, you know, coming off that part, they've got a chance to get on a real pretty good roll here. That's the thing. That's a nice win against a Brown County program that, had just been struggled to even win a game the previous two or three years. And, has actually bounced back. I think they got, five, six wins already this year. So they're kind of heading in a better direction over there. But that was a big win for them to take that out. I mean, obviously, that's still a rivalry. And then you got, kind of like North did, you got to turn around and go up, get on the road again and play another conference opponent there. So a good test for them. I know South Putnam again's not a world beater by any means, but you still got to find the legs to win both those games. And I think it's really helped the Edgewood's, got eight or nine guys that can get in there and give them some quality minutes now. And, one of the nice finds seems to be this freshman, Caden Jones. He's put in some nice nights for them so far on occasion this year, and so that's a that's a nice body to have in there with, you know, we're running about 6'5" or so. He can knock down a three-pointer for you, and obviously he's shown the ability to be able to rebound the basketball, and you put him together with what Carl Norris is doing, and you know, hopefully you get a good night out of Jacob Boggs, and then obviously the leader of this whole thing is Mylan White, who, when he gets going, it makes such a difference because he came close to putting up a triple double, 15 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, and 3 steals in that 64-40 win at over South Putnam. And during that game, Edgewood had a 23-0 run. So that tells you that Edgewood was focused on both ends of this. That you're able to hold a team scoreless on the road for that long. That says a lot about what kind of momentum that Edgewood looks like they're getting, and they'll need it heading into. They've got their own rivalry game set up for this Friday over at Owen Valley.
That's going to be our high school game of the week this Friday night as the Mustangs and the Owen Valley Patriots live from Patriot Hall. Joe hasn't been over there in a while. Dave Novak will join him. We'll start just in front of 7 o'clock, and we'll tip it around 7:30 after we hear from Matt Wadsworth. The other part of this interesting January for Edgewood as well, all their games are on the road. Obviously, the holiday tournament was over in Terre Haute, and they'll play 5 of 7. Now, they've played a couple of these now, but 5 of 7 on the road. They always have that interesting schedule. One year, they're all at home, or the next year, they're all away, but that's how it works out this year around. So that'll provide another challenge for Matt's group.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much that changes when the WIC, with the Putnam schools and Greencastle and Cascade, who was supposed to get in, pulling back out again. So it'll be interesting to see how much the schedules kind of get changed around and what may happen there. But it's just something, you have to deal with. There's several squads that, I believe the Edgewood girls had the same thing where I think where they're being, like 5 of their first 6 were on the road or something like that. So, just a swinging schedule. But, when you look at who they're playing, I think they've got a chance to really get on a nice little run here heading into the last 5 or 6 games of the season.
Quickly on girls basketball, I know Gary Sims, we talked to him on Friday before we sent them over to Brown County. That did not end the way they wanted to do. How about a quick update for the women's game, and then we'll get to the Conference Indiana Swimmers, who had a busy weekend.
Edgewood, I went over and watched them Wednesday against Northview, and obviously, that kind of showed you. Northview's just got several kind of tall, lean athletes that Edgewood had a lot of trouble with, and they've got some. When you look at Indian Creek and Northview, they've still got some work to do, especially with this young squad. They're going to be able to break through there. That was a tough loss over there at Brown County. I think it's one of those deals where when you've got a young squad that's just so dependent on sophomores, you're just occasionally going to have nights and just inconsistency. That's what they're kind of battling with right now, and they've got a couple of people that are kind of been out and with injuries and illness and things like that too, so that doesn't help as well. A nice win up for Bloomington North girls over at Terre Haute on Saturday, so that sets up on January 19th Columbus North at Bloomington North, and that will, for all intents and purposes, be for the Conference Indiana title. The Bulldogs are 4-0, and North is 3-0 with only a game against Terre Haute South, I believe, remaining, and they're having a real struggle this year. A nice win for them, and that'll be a big game for them coming up. And then, Bloomington South is last couple of games, South played really well. And so I maybe coming out of that Whiteland tournament and having some time to work on some things over the break, maybe they've figured some things out. And so I look for them. I'm kind of curious to see how they look here down the stretch.
Larry Winters has been around the block. He knows what it takes to get a team moving in the right direction. Good to hear that from the Purple and White. So a big one, North and North on the schedule moving forward. And everybody jumping in the pool, Jim Gordillo at Jim Gordillo on the Twitter X. Or HeraldTimesOnline.com. Big weekend for Conference Indiana. Tell me what I missed in the pool.
Well, what you missed was a Bloomington South sweep of the Conference Indiana swim titles this week. Nothing new for the girls. They've won eight of the last nine with the squad that they've got. But a big day for the South boys. North had won four of these in a row and probably had the goods to win another. But South just had a little bit too much depth in some of the events to get it done, and really when you look at it, maybe the key to this thing was Lucas Pagel, who had ended up beating North's Jay Stewart, who'd won the 50 last year, but he just missed the meet record by 1/100th of a second, winning the 50 free title, and then went 50.03 to win the 100 fly, again breaking the record last year that Stewart had set. So that those two wins right there are just enough points to South wound up winning at 484.5 to 473. So yeah, pretty much dominated. Bloomington swimmers won everything but diving. That tells you just how good a day it was for North and South there. South David Kovacs repeated in the 200 IM. And then he broke his meet record in the backstroke to win that one as well. Button Kuhn, he was a repeat winner in the 500 free, and he also won the 200 free as well. And then they got a third place from their diver, Hyun Kim. And then Panthers won the 200 medley relay with Pagel finishing that off with a 22.41 in the fly. Or I shouldn't say finishing off, but with a third leg. And Kovacs had a 23.91 leg in the back to get it started, and that both those are pretty fast times when you look at it. And then the 400 free relay for the Panthers, they broke the meet record with a 3:10.51. So that's not a bad place to be this time of year. Again, Pagel and Kovacs 46.50 and 46.65 for cooking. Their 100 legs cooking. On that one. They are cooking. And then even the other two guys, Kuhn and Key and Cadillac, were both under 49. So not a bad job there. And then for North, Ben Buehler repeated in the 100 free. North went 1-2-4 in that event. And Hunter Tang won the breaststroke title. And looking back with Jay Stewart, he's second in the 50 free and a 21.51. That ain't bad. And then he went 50.26 in the 100 fly, which also broke the previous meet record, but again, he was in second place there. And then North won the 200 free relay with Stewart again cooking with a 21.96 anchor on that one as well. And they were second in the medley relay. And Will Steiner was fourth in diving. And then the South girls had a 4.77. They won that by 104 points over Columbus North. Bloomington North was third at 3.44. Big thing for North out of that one, senior Ashley Friel pulls off a pretty rare feat, a 4-year sweep, two events, the 200 IM and the 100 fly. So you might see that in one event, but for someone to do that in two events, that's fairly impressive deal there. For South, Harper Eakin, sophomore, she repeated in the 200 and 500 free. So, she's keeping her family's distance-free swimming a passion alive there. And then Anna Asplund for South, she repeated in the backstroke and won the 100 free again this year. Emily Wang won the breaststroke. And South took the medley relay and the 400 free relay with Asplund in that 400 free, doing a 52.96 anchor to finish that thing off. And they were second in the 200 free relay. Kate Seidenfaden was second in the IM and back for the Panthers. And then for North, Bella Martin was second in diving. And the Cougars went 1.47 in the fly and 5.78 in the 200 free and took second in the 400 free. And fourth in the 200 free relay, but unfortunately they got DQ'd in the medley relay. If you're going to DQ, do it now, not at sectional.
Jim Gordillo, the HeraldTimesOnline.com. Where are you at tonight, buddy?
Well, tonight I'm going to be over at Bloomington South. We got the season opener for gymnastics, county meet with South, North, and Edgewood, and should be a pretty competitive meet. We've got Everybody's got a number of a pretty good gymnasts back from last year. Addison Georges leading the Edgewood squad, and then North's got Sophie Garcia and several other members of that team that went to state last year, and South's got Maddie Kawanishi, who made it to state last year, leading a pretty good group for them. So it ought to be a pretty good evening. I see it's one of those times of year you're not going to see everyone at their best, and you're not going to see everyone throwing all their skills tonight, you know, as they kind of get the season started and kind of get back into, you know, being in a competitive situation again. But yeah, we ought to see some good things out of the gymnasts this season.
All right, buddy, we'll enjoy it tonight. We'll keep an eye on the weather for the rest of the week, but it's comfortable today and tomorrow, so that's the good news. And we'll follow along at Jim Gordillo on the Twitterverse, HeraldTimesOnline.com. Thanks as always for your time, buddy. It's always appreciated. You do a great service here for our local community. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, sir. We'll talk to you down the road.
That's Jimmy Gordillo from the Herald Times. He joins us each week to keep us updated on all, well, most of all the great things that are going on in the high school world. This time of the year is busy. Tons and tons of things happening. And as the month of January moves on, yep, we'll keep an eye on wrestling as well and all the other sports to make sure that we try to tell as many stories as possible. And we thank Jimmy for rearranging his schedule today coming in on a Monday. The Pacers will be ready to go at 6:30 pregame after a quick CBS Sports Tonight tip-off with the Celtics. Second time in three nights, Pacers looking for revenge after Boston knocked them out on Saturday. Pacers, first of one, two games with us. We'll have the Pacers hosting the Wizards Wednesday night as well. So tune in. Well, let's don't go anywhere. It's easier to do that. We'll be back tomorrow, Tuesday. Dave Novak will be in the Crazy Horse Tavern happy hour, and well, we're never normal around here. We'll just try to get back to normal. Have a great Monday night. CBS Sports is next.